We are going to start reading in Acts 15, verse 36, and keep on going straight into chapter 16, stop in verse 10. So, Acts 15, verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased the number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. All right, lots of names, lots of places, lots of traveling. This text, these, 15 verses or so, they're basically an introduction to Paul's second missionary journey. Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, has given us this three condensed paragraphs. There are some places where we kind of hope that there could be more information, but there isn't. Basically, what we have here is he is showing us who went with him and where he went. That's his whole point. And where he is planning on going. And the focus of the second missionary journey is going to be Greece. We have here in these 10 verses in chapter 16, he travels about 1,000 kilometers, and it's just boom, 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 boom. He just goes through them. But then as soon as he hits Greece, Luke slows it down, and we have all of chapter 16, all of chapter 17, most of chapter 18 about his travels through Greece. So that's going to be the focus of his second missionary journey. So this is just preparing us for where he's going to be going and who's going to be with him. Now, little background, as always, because I think this will help us understand some things that are going on in our text today. If we go all the way back to chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch in Syria, down there in the corner, and the Holy Spirit said, said to the church, "Separate from me Paul and Barnabas to go on this mission." And they said, okay. And they took with them Mark, John Mark, who was Barnabas's, the Greek text says anipsios. Now in modern Greek, anipsios means nephew. 2,000 years ago, it could mean nephew, it could also mean cousin. So one of the two. Mark is a relative of Barnabas. So they take Mark with them. So they travel to Cyprus, and this is on the first missionary journey. They travel to Cyprus, they go through Cyprus, and they come up to Pamphylia, because they're planning on going up into southern Galatia, to these cities over here. So they go up into Pamphylia, and as soon as they hit Pamphylia, Mark leaves. It wasn't the plan that he would leave, but he basically abandoned them. Now, we don't know why. Was he afraid of persecution? Was he getting tired? Was he homesick? Was he were things getting too hard? Because to travel from Pamphylia to get to these places here, he had to go through some seriously dangerous mountains, the Taurus Mountains there, where people died trying to cross those mountains. So I don't know what the problem was, but for some reason, he left. And it hasn't been mentioned, but now it's going to come up. But Paul and Barnabas kept on going. They went to these four cities here, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And it's pretty much the same pattern. They preached the gospel. Some believed. Others didn't. Those who didn't persecuted them, and so they had to leave, and they would go to the next city. And then the same thing would happen again. And after they finished their first missionary journey, they went back home to Antioch of Syria, where they have been probably for about 2 years now. And there's other things that have happened in those 2 years. You know, he probably sent the letter to the Galatians because there were problems with the Judaizers. And, you know, we saw in chapter 15 how he went down for the Jerusalem Council and all these things. But they're back in Antioch. Paul and Barnabas are back in Antioch. And this is what happens. Let's go through the text, verse 36. It says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.'" He's talking about the ones in southern Galatia over here. Okay, let's go back. Barnabas says, good idea, let's do it. But, verse 37. "Now Barnabas was determined," notice that word, "determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted," notice that word, "that they should not take with them the one who had departed from him in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." So you have Barnabas, who is determined to take Mark, and you have Paul, who insists not to take Mark. So this is going to be a problem. Verse 39, it says, "Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God." So you have these two people who have been working together for years, have risked their lives together for Christ. And we read that there's this sharp contention. The Greek word is paroxysmos, where you, apparently there is an English word also, paroxysm, that comes from paroxysmos. That's not a mild disagreement. Paroxysmos, we're talking about, it's the idea of a violent eruption. And I'm not saying violent in physical ways, but this is not a small, this was a big fight. Big fight between Paul and Barnabas. And I always find it interesting how the Bible does not try and hide the problems and sins and faults of even the greatest saints. There's only one man who is perfect and sinless. That was Jesus Christ. The rest of us are all sinners. We're redeemed sinners, forgiven sinners, but sinners nonetheless. And that includes Paul and Barnabas. And oftentimes I think we may look back at the early church and we say, oh, if only I could have lived back then when the church was, you know, in its purity. Yeah, but something we need to realize that there is no such thing as a perfect church. There was never such a thing as a perfect church. Something that I say often is, even if there was a perfect church, after you go there, it'll cease being perfect. Because we are all sinners. Every church is made up of sinners. Forgiven sinners, but sinners nonetheless, who have real problems, real sins. And things come up, as it does here with Paul and Barnabas. So, we have a sharp disagreement. And in fact, as we look at the rest of the New Testament, there is no indication that Paul and Barnabas ever worked together again. Now, they may have. I'm not saying that they hated each other after this. I'm not saying that at all. But there is no indication that they worked together again. Now, few things concerning this fight. Whenever people talk about this passage, they pick sides. And they say, whose fault was it? Who was right and who was wrong? A lot of people will automatically side with Paul. Because, come on, he's the Apostle Paul. He's a guy who wrote, you know, half the books of the New Testament. He has written scripture that is infallible, without error. So how could he be wrong? Well, that's not good reasoning, because Scripture is infallible and without error. That doesn't mean that Paul, the Holy Spirit guided Paul into writing Scripture, therefore the the product of what Paul wrote in that instant was Scripture and was infallible and without error. But that does not mean that Paul was sinless and never made mistakes the rest of the time. There's so many... we don't have enough information. There's so many possibilities. It could be that Barnabas was right. Maybe Mark knew that what he did was wrong, had repented, had asked for forgiveness, said, "I want another shot," and Barnabas, who was a very loving, kind person, we know that, his name, the apostles called him Barnabas, which meant son of encouragement. He was a very reconciling kind of person, and so maybe he said, "Yep, I believe you, I forgive you, let's give you another shot." Maybe. And maybe Paul was the one who was like, "No, look, we took him once, and you know what? This is not just we're going on vacation for a couple of weeks, okay, and taking a couple of Facebook pictures and sending them home, and look, I'm on a mission." Paul got stoned when they went on that mission. This is a matter of life and death. And he's like, "I don't trust him." Maybe Paul was too hard. Maybe Paul was unforgiving. I don't know. On the other hand, we could say, no, maybe since Mark was related to Barnabas, you know, oftentimes we side with our families even though we shouldn't. That could have happened. We just don't know. We don't have enough information. If I had to pick a side, let me just give you a couple of reasons why I lean towards Paul, but I'm definitely not dogmatic on this. It seems to me in verses 39 and 40, when it says Barnabas took Mark and they went to Cyprus, and then it says Paul took Silas in verse 40 and departed, being commended by their brethren to the grace of God. So you have this commendation and blessing from the church on Paul and Silas, when it sounds like Barnabas and Mark just kind of went to Cyprus. Maybe. I could be completely wrong, but it just... maybe. Another reason would be that from this point on, the entire book of Acts is all Paul. All Paul. And you never hear of Barnabas again. So, that could be an indication that he was right and Barnabas was wrong. I'm just saying, those are possibilities. Anyhow, one final note on this fight, and obviously Paul not being happy with Mark. Even though Paul had a problem with Mark here, and I understand his concern, that does not mean that they were permanently at odds with one another. If you read his last letter, this letter, 2 Timothy, that Paul wrote like 15 years later, at the end he says to Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry." So they were reconciled in the end. And let's not forget about the fact that Mark wrote a little book that is known as the Gospel of Mark. So the lesson for me is that even if you mess up, seriously mess up, it does not mean that you will forever be cut off from the ministry forever. God will say, "I'm not using you ever again." No, God forgives our sins, our mistakes. He made a big mess here, but God forgives, God restores, and God does use us again to further His kingdom, which is a great thing about God. So, we have the split. So first of all, we learn how come Paul does not take Barnabas on the second missionary journey. It was because of Mark. So Barnabas is out. Paul takes Silas instead. Silas being one of the guys who had come up from Jerusalem from the council. Now, verse 41, it says, "And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." You see where Syria is, that's where Antioch is, and then through Cilicia. Those are not the churches from the first missionary journey. Those are other churches that have sprung up, we don't know when. Okay, so verse 1 of chapter 16. "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra." Now those are cities from the first missionary journey. So he came to Derbe and Lystra. "And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him." Let's just stop there. So now Luke introduces us to Timothy. Timothy is going to be one of Paul's closest companions for the rest of his life. Timothy is mentioned in 10 of Paul's 13 letters. 11 to 14 if you count Hebrews. Paul speaks of him as his beloved and faithful child in the Lord. So it seems to be this, it seems like Timothy was a young man, Paul was older, and they had a father-son relationship, and Timothy was there till the end with Paul. We read that his mother was Jewish and a believer. Later on we hear that her name is Eunice. His father was Greek, not a believer. I don't know when his mother came to know the Lord. I don't know when Timothy came to know the Lord. I don't know if it was on Paul's first missionary journey. I don't know if it was since then. We don't know. One thing that I thought of which was interesting was the last time Paul was in Lystra, because they're in Lystra now. Last time Paul was in Lystra, he got stoned. And so he goes now to Eunice, Timothy's mother, to this young guy, and he says, "Hi, I would like to take your son with me on a missionary journey." Can you promise he won't get hurt? No. But I need a young, faithful man to come with me. I need other men to preach the gospel after I'm gone. Okay. And so he's going to take him. But the next sentence has troubled a lot of people. Look at verse 3. After it says Paul wanted to have him go on with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Hold on. What just happened to the letter of Galatians? The whole book was about you don't need to get circumcised in order to be saved. Did he not say in Galatians, if you get circumcised, in chapter 5, if you get circumcised, that's for salvation, Christ will profit you nothing. Why did they have the council in the previous chapter? It was because of this very issue. And the council said, you do not need to get circumcised in order to be saved. That in Galatians chapter 2, Paul was talking about how he had traveled to Jerusalem with Titus. Titus was a Greek. And when he went to Jerusalem with Titus, there were some Judaizers there who said, you know, you've got to circumcise this guy. And Paul said, absolutely not. There is no way. And in Galatians 2, he says, we did not yield to them for a moment that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. This is a matter of the gospel. You do not get saved by being circumcised. And now all of a sudden, he circumcises Timothy. Has he gone mad? No. Because this is not about salvation. Timothy was already saved. There is no one here saying, you got to circumcise Timothy, otherwise he can't be saved. That's not the issue at all. What's the issue? The reason that we are given is, it says, because there were a bunch of Jews in that region who knew that his father was Greek. What does that mean? Well, they know his father is Greek, so they know that he's not circumcised. They know that his mother is Jewish, but he's not circumcised, which means that he's a Jew. He's an apostate Jew. He's a Jew who has violated the Old Testament covenant by not being circumcised. Now, when Paul would travel to each city, where was the first place that he would go to? Synagogues. Why? Because the Jews had Bibles. They were expecting the Messiah. So he would go speak to them first, and then he would go to the Gentiles. First of all, there is no way in the world that they would allow an uncircumcised Jew to go and speak in the synagogue. They probably wouldn't even listen to Paul for having brought him. So Paul says, let's get you circumcised. Because, why? Because as Paul had said at the end of Galatians, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. So if this will open doors to evangelize Jews, let's do it. Why not? It's not a problem. We can do it. He doesn't want Timothy to become a matter of debate. He wants to go and preach the gospel, and he just wants to put this behind him. No one will say anything if he's circumcised. It's all good. I actually appreciate Timothy here, because Timothy's the one that has to go through with it. Paul, it's not difficult for Paul. Timothy is the one who is saying, okay, I don't want any hindrances for the gospel, so let's do it. Okay, good for Timothy. So now there's three. Okay, we're building our team before we go to Macedonia and into Greece. We got Paul, we got Silas, we got Timothy. Verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. Okay, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Alright, so they're done visiting the churches from the first journey, but they're not going to stop there. They want to keep on going and preach the gospel. Okay, so verse 6 says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So they've gone through these cities over here on the map. They go through, this is Galatia, here's Phrygia, they go through it. And they want to go to Asia. Okay, they want to go to Asia. There are many very important cities in Asia. You've got Sardis, you've got Philadelphia, you've got Pergamos, you've got, biggest of all, Ephesus. Ephesus, right here. Ephesus was the capital of Asia. When we say Asia, we're talking Asia Minor. Okay? Ephesus was huge. It was the fourth biggest city in the empire. Okay? And so they're like, okay, we're going to Ephesus. At this point, I don't think it has even crossed Paul's mind that he's going to end up in Greece. He's going to Asia. Asia Minor, probably Ephesus. So you got the team, all right, we're going to Asia Minor, and God says, no. But we want to go to Ephesus. No. Lord, you realize we want to go preach the gospel. No. You're not going to Asia. Sometimes our plans don't work out as we had hoped. Why is that? Well, because we are not sovereign. We are not God. God is sovereign. He decides everything. He decides who gets saved, who does not. He decides where the gospel is going to go. And he says, we're not going to Asia. Later they will, in a couple of years down the road, but not now. We're not going. Now, I don't know how the Holy Spirit told them this. Or was it a dream? Did he speak to Paul or Silas? I don't know. But he says, no, we're not going to Asia Minor. Okay, so you're Paul and Barnabas and Titus. You're somewhere here. You're planning on coming down into Asia because you're traveling across Turkey this way. You wanted to go down here. Okay. We're not allowed to go down there, so where should we go? Let's go in the opposite direction. We can't turn left. Let's go right, up to Bithynia. Okay, what's in Bithynia? You got what was called Byzantium then. You got Constantinople. You got Nicaea. There's a couple of big cities. Let's go to Bithynia. Great. Look at verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. No. You realize we're trying to go preach the gospel, right? No. You're not going to Bithynia. Okay. So we can't go left. We can't go right. We're not going to go back. So we just kind of keep on moving forward. So they keep on going through Mysia. And then verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Okay, notice here, right, verse 8, notice on our map, this is interesting, how God is shutting them in, closing them in. There's nowhere else to go. They're kind of, he brings them into the northwest corner of Turkey there, because there's nowhere else to go. And this is what happens, finally. They're in Troas, they don't know what to do. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. As a quick side note, let me just point out that in verse 10 there is a fourth person that joins the group. And no, I'm not talking about the guy in the vision. Well, notice something really quick. Go to verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia, verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, then jump to verse 10. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Verse 11, therefore sailing from Troas, we ran straight for Samothrake and so forth. So something changes along the way. Who's writing the book of Acts?
Luke.
So it seems that Luke was in Troas, and they pick him up along the way. So now we got a team of four, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, who are getting ready to go to Macedonia. But so Paul has a vision, and the Macedonian says, come help us. Help how? Everyone needs some kind of help. Everyone has needs. Everyone has problems. Everyone could use some kind of help. What help? Well, we're explained what help in verse 10. When we thought about the vision, we concluded that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's the help. There is no greater need for mankind than to hear the gospel. Now, I understand that we all need food. We all need clothing. We all need shelter. We need medicine when we get sick. We need to be able to travel places. We need fellowship and friendship. We need all these things, and I'm not diminishing those things. But the point that I want to make here is, what difference does it make? If you live to be 100 years old, die in wonderful, in strength and in health, with friends around you, with money around you, with food around you, and then die and go to hell. So what? You're not going to spend eternity in hell saying, well, at least I had 100 good years. The greatest need that we all have is to hear the gospel and be saved. And the vision, the guy in the vision says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul and Silas and his team, they head on to Macedonia to give the greatest help. This is the help that everyone needs. All of us are sinners, and the good news, the gospel, that's what it means, good news, is that even though we have all sinned, Christ died for our sins, and all who repent, turn to Him, trust in Him, Christ is a perfect Savior, and He will forgive them and save. That is why Paul and his team are going to go to Greece to preach the gospel. And since we're in Greece, let's follow their example and keep preaching the gospel also. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.